For those of you who have heard me talk before, I tend to get long-winded, and I'm going to try to change that today, and to your benefit. I also tend to, express a little bit of emotion, and I feel it right now, and it happens every time I think about what's going on with this project, because it is so inherently wrong. It's beyond outrageous. Hey, I have a small company, and I thought I'd go to my neighbor and say, you know what? I just need to take a piece of your land, and the land next door, and the land down the street to help my bottom line. You think they're going to go for it? And more importantly, do you think it's right? Do you think we should live in a state, in a country that would ever allow a private business venture, a private entity? Well, yeah, there's another country involved. But any private organization to come and take your private property, which we all know, it's not just a physical piece. It's a way of life. It's part of your heritage. It's your culture. It's your future. You should never allow that to happen. So I have a few things I want to just drill down on. Jack's covered them from a higher level, and they're essentially, if I can operate this, I put this together about 2:00 this morning, so if anything blows up, it's me. First of all, we're all kind of, and I said this from early on, and many people are aware of it, but we all get trapped up into this is a big project, and there's many facets of it. So many dimensions, right? So many angles. And we've seen the Northern Pass people take a whole bunch of them already, and I think we can expect a whole lot more little side approaches and surprises and, oh, we've decided to change this, and now we're going to do that. But the thing that we can't lose sight of, and I'm just going to drill into it a little bit, is that this is nothing more than a simple business proposal by private companies to make themselves a whole bunch of money. So you recognize these players up here, right? Northeast Utilities and NSTAR, there's a 75% ownership by Northeast Utility, 25% ownership by NSTAR, and this entity created here in New Hampshire called Northern Pass Transmission LLC. These folks, of course, are working with Hydro-Québec, and that joint work together have resulted in this godforsaken thing that we now all are living with called the Northern Pass. I think it's interesting that I looked at the formation papers for the Northern Pass Transmission LLC that are filed in Concord, and the filing member of it is an organization called NU Transmission Ventures, Inc. And the chairman and CEO of NU Transmission Ventures, Inc. happens to be good old Charles Shivery. I call him Shivery, who is the chairman and CEO of Northeast Utilities. So I just think that's kind of an interesting thing. So here are the players. Don't forget, we have this presented to us like, well, we've got this big utility. We've got this, this thing going on that's going to bring such great benefit to the New England region, and somehow, although we've all can see through it, it's going to bring benefit back to New Hampshire. It's really nothing more. Just don't ever let anyone tell you it's anything else than private corporations looking to make money, which is fine. I'd like to make a lot of money myself. I just would prefer to do it in an ethical and responsible way. So to further drill down on the fact that this is some of those details. This here is in the FERC filing that was put in by Northern Pass, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. Take a look at that. Just take a moment to read that. Just to ensure that you know that this is a voluntary action. These are two parties coming together in a commercial transaction, right? They're sophisticated parties. They know the benefits and the risks, and they're coming together to make some money. This one's a little tougher to read, and this will be the worst slide with the most writing on it, but essentially, this is our New Hampshire PUC in March of this year, questioning the amount of money that FERC, the federal folks, were giving to the Northern Pass as a return on their investment. But in that, they're saying some pretty incredible things that we need to lock onto, right? This thing's not, right? We all know it's not needed. But we keep hearing it's a regional thing, right? We're part of the regional grid. We're not an island. Well, the grid folks aren't asking for it. The state of New Hampshire's not asking for it. The federal government's not requiring this to be done. There is no controlling authority that is telling us that we have to allow this to happen. So what all that simply means, but it's so essential, not a single one of you who live up in this area where there's no existing right-of-way, or any of you who live along the existing right-of-ways, not a one of you have to deal with these folks at all. Just like if I knock on your door and want a piece of your land, or I want your permission to come on it and poke around a little bit, you just simply say, hey, okay? Hold on to that. You do not have to cooperate with the, and you know, I have my own personal view, you can probably tell, but I would recommend you don't. I mean, you simply don't have to. All right? You simply don't have to. A little bit more detail on the underlying issue of this eminent domain. You know, there's three primary legs of this whole setup, right? There's from the international border down to Northumberland. Then there's Northumberland down to Franklin for the DC portion of it. And then there's Franklin over to Deerfield for the AC portion. But if you look at it, this is in their filing, this is in their presidential permit application, these little quoted marks. Along, you know, up here, you better believe it, there's about 45 miles, 150 feet wide, nothing exists. They're going to have to try to take it. Right? The right-of-way from Northumberland on down to Franklin, there's plenty of areas where they're going to have to make some modifications to that right-of-way. They're going to have to expand it. They're going to have to grab more land. And the same thing is true going from Franklin to Deerfield. We cannot. Imagine the precedent that this is allowed, that this private enterprise is allowed to take people's property for this purpose. You talk about a one transmission line giving birth to another, to another, to another. Why would it stop at transmission lines? Right? If you're a business entity and you've got a proposed project and you can dangle some perceived benefits that no one could ever measure and then get permission to take people's property, I don't think so. But if we go from this wording in their presidential permit, if we go now to testimony filed in their TSA, this guy here, a couple things interesting about him. This James Muntz, I probably won't get his name, Muntz, he handles all the transmission business for Northeast Utilities, and also he just so happens to be president of Northern Pass Transmission LLC. Now, I find that remarkable. In all of the meetings, the editorials, the articles, everything that you've ever seen, any group you've ever been involved with, have you ever seen this guy out on point? Is he involved at all in selling this product? He's the president of the company that was formed here in New Hampshire to do the project. Mr. Muntz, where are you? I just find that remarkable in one way, and actually just kind of non-remarkable if you think about the way the whole outfit operates. But you see that. The message is, right, on each section of these lines, both up here and all along it, they're going to have to take land. Right? I just said it a moment ago, electrical distribution, a regional issue. But let me tell you, taking private property certainly is not. Yeah. It is intensely personal. My wife and I have a beautiful spot down in Guilford. I'll tell you, if someone We'll move on.
We can relate.
Okay. I know you can. And I can relate to you. So this here, you know, this next point, I actually made this point when I talked to one of the committees in Concord. We ought not, ought to never consider action like this unless it is a dire national or state need with real, tangible, demonstrable public benefit. In cases like that, as community members, you could somehow come to that in some fashion. This is nothing like that. This is nothing like that at all. I mention this just because, and Representative Rappaport has already covered this very well. I mean, I want to thank you personally for the work that you've done with this bill. And also I want to mention Senator Jeanne Forrester, who sponsored it along with you. Eminent domain, I mean, the basic property rights here in our state and in our country, they're so essential to our whole way of life, to everything that makes sense to all of us, to that pursuit of happiness, to that peaceful enjoyment of life, to your own security. That's how critical all of this is. So, Representative had asked, can you show a presence? God help you, show a presence on the 19th. All right, the third point I wanted to drill down a little bit on here is, everywhere I've gone and had the privilege to be able to speak at all, I end up saying, starting off with something like, well, you know, this doesn't affect me personally, but I think it's bad for the state of New Hampshire in many ways, and I think it's bad energy policy for our country. I still believe that deeply. Whether it has validity or merit at all, I think personally, one of the next arguments, and I've seen it emerging from Gary Long et al., is this whole thing about, yeah, but you know, we may not need more power, but we need cleaner power. And irrespective of the argument about Hydro-Quebec not being clean or green in any form, we need sources of power that don't contribute to greenhouse gases. I think, you know, no matter what side of the argument you're on greenhouse gases, clearly there's something changing in our climate. Could it be centuries of human activity? That's a rather strong possibility. So I think it's important that when we say no to Northern Pass, that we recognize that we, at least myself and so many people I've met through this whole process, we're not saying no to cleaner and greener power, right? And we're not saying no to, hey, we need to lessen our reliance on fossil fuels. We're not saying that at all. We recognize it. We're just saying that in order to achieve those, we don't have to continue to destroy the natural world around us and to impact the lives of people here in New Hampshire in the way that this project would. There's other ways that we can achieve that. And I think a good way to look at it is to think that, you know, by saying no to that, no to Northern Pass, we're actually saying yes to those local renewables, yes to conservation measures, yes to energy efficiencies, all of which combined can have a dramatic effect on our air quality and what's happening to us here in this country and around the world. So this is one of my favorite things about what Gary Long and friends like to say. Well, you know, we're part of the New Hampshire Climate Action Plan. We are this importation of Canadian hydro and wind, we are one of the recommended 67 actions. And they are right. They are. I just get a real kick out of, you see that quotation? That quotation, for those of you who have not read the New Hampshire Climate Action Plan, that is a footnote in the New Hampshire Climate Action Plan specific to the importation of Canadian hydro or wind. Look what they're saying. They're saying what we're saying, right? Gee, I'm not sure that this is the best thing to do. Look at the serious consequences it could have. And we're already seeing that for those who have been tuned into what's going on with our biomass and the incentives to, you know, go and install solar and other alternative energy in your homes and businesses. I just think we need to be informed at the detail level. If that's the argument they're going to make, well, let's say, gee, that's great. Yeah, we noted that. Oh, by the way, we also noted. And then there's Reggie. You know, you can't talk about regional greenhouse gases without at least touching on this. Now, this is a very, in many ways, it's sort of a nebulous thing, right? I've wondered myself, how on earth would you measure a number of metric tons, they're called short metric tons, of CO2 that's in our atmosphere? Whoa, it's well beyond me. But I mean, Reggie is, you know, it's our six New England states along with these other four states. And they basically took and said, okay, we're going to use 2009 as a baseline, and then for the next few years, we're going to kind of keep it at that level here in this region, and then we're going to decrease it, as you see on the screen. Now, that when I look at New Hampshire, it's 4.6% of the overall 10-state regional allotment or apportionment, if you will, of carbon released. We're so close to meeting it already. We could meet that with some very simple measures. We don't need Northern Pass to do that. And the other thing is, many of you may be aware, the New Hampshire House, I believe, has already voted to withdraw New Hampshire from the Reggie agreement. Now, whether that, you know, takes a different course in the Senate and passes in full, I don't know. I find myself sort of walking the middle on that, saying, geez, you know, on the one hand, if the Reggie requirement goes away, selfishly I say, well, hey, that sure hurts the argument of the Northern Pass folks. And then the other part of me says, yeah, but reducing greenhouse gases and CO2 emissions is a good thing for the world. So, I mean, not sure where that's going to end up, but just be aware, as they're talking about, but yeah, we have these regional requirements, we have the state requirement. Just be aware of the underlying detail on it so you can present an informed response to those kind of arguments. And I would close on this. There's one more slide coming up, I think. And forgive me if this is a bit corny, but I'll just let it, you read it. Some of you may recognize where the underlying basis for this comes from. I'm from down below, by the way. I'm not a Flatlander, as you can see. We all good? Anyone recognize where that came from? I severely paraphrase that, of course, but it's on the Holocaust Museum in Washington. Anyway, let's move to the next slide, because that slide there was really my way of trying to say, it's not okay to let your neighbor be harmed, you know? It's not okay for me to sit down and enjoy the Lakes region while this horrible thing goes through up here and elsewhere. It's just simply not okay. I have a responsibility to get involved. And every single one of you do too. So in standing... Oh, maybe. Yeah, sure, I can do that.
He's writing a book.
Yeah, so I don't know how I get back there. Okay, so anyway, just in closing, it's just, you know, so what can you do? I mean, Jack pointed out, and Will's pointed out in his presentations, and myself and so many people have talked about it. One of the most frustrating things about the whole project is we don't get a chance to vote on it. We just simply don't. The process is designed to let a project be approved. and where we are attempting to thwart the process by interjecting our voice into it in some fashion to stop it. Those are very basic things. I hope you can all do it, at least some of them. Thank you.